You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Gaming Podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's February 6th, 2025, and welcome to another episode of Midlife Side Quest, the Over the Hill Video Game Podcast. My name is John Wall, and every week I bring you my video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek delivered to you in 15 minutes, or your next podcast is free. Thank you so very much for tuning in today. On this episode, I'm going to be talking about the game The Root Trees Are Dead. But first, let's check out some of this week's gaming news. And in some of the least surprising news of the week, video game developer Midnight Society has shut its doors permanently after 3 years. The closure comes just months after laying off a large portion of its staff, and they close without ever having released their debut title, Dead Drop. Now, if you don't recall, Midnight Society was formed by Call of Duty veteran Robert Bowling and professional streamer and D-bag Dr. Disrespect back in 2021. If you're not familiar with Dr. Disrespect, great job, for one. Second, the mustachioed moron is perhaps most famous for getting permanently banned from Twitch for sending inappropriate messages to a minor, confessing to cheating on his wife during a live stream, and also being kicked out of E3 after live streaming from a public bathroom. The studio also partially funded Dead Drop through the sale of NFTs, which, in hindsight, you know, probably wasn't the smartest investment for those early adopters. In a statement, they said, "We express our sincere gratitude to each and every one of our community members and are deeply sorry we were unable to reach our ultimate goal." Studio closures have been a plague on this industry for several years now, but I gotta be honest, no tears will be shed for these guys. Something weird happened the other day. Something that almost never happens to me. But I just felt compelled to do it. I played a PC game. That's right, I played a video game on my personal computer. And I know what you're thinking, John, you don't play PC games. And you're right. As a platform, I just generally don't enjoy the PC experience. It's not for me. But the scuttlebutt that I was hearing about The Root Trees Are Dead was enough for me to break that cardinal rule. So in this game, you play as a private investigator, and you need to dig into the history of the Root Trees, a wealthy family who made their fortune in the candy making business back in the early 1900s. The game takes place in 1998, and it begins with a news broadcast announcing the deaths of several members of the family after their private jet crashes. On board were the three Root Tree sisters, who were all models and give off some major Kardashian vibes, and their parents, one of whom was the current president of the family business. With their deaths, over $1 billion of inheritance is up for grabs, and a mysterious woman shows up at your door one night and hires you to dig into the family tree to make sure that the right people who are entitled to this fortune receive it. What really convinced me that I should give this game a go, that I could enjoy this, is, despite my aversion to PC gaming, that most of the gameplay revolves around you sitting at your computer and searching for clues online. The entire game takes place in your office and has you kind of jumping between three areas in that room. There's your desk and computer where you'll use your super fast 56K modem to search the internet for clues about the family. There's the table where you'll lay out certain clues and photographs that you will print off to examine later. And there's your cork board wall where you have the entire family tree pinned up, you know, with like the yarn connecting them all like the movie Memento. So you'll start off with a list of names that you get from this woman. And these are the most significant members of the family. And these are the ones that you're going to want to look into first to get things rolling. And you'll search for them on the their fake version of Google, which is called Spider Search. You'll also be able to look at public records to find out more information about the family. You'll also be checking out old family photos, magazines, newspaper articles, things like that, and looking for photo evidence. And when you think that you have all of the facts about someone on this tree, you post their photo, their name, and their occupation on the board. And for every three people that you get 100% correct, it will lock in those answers to show that you got it right. And then it'll kind of give you some more clues. The real fun here comes as you peel back the layers of the root tree's history, uncovering all of the family rifts, the dark secrets, and all the plot twists that will make it tough to decipher who's who. You know, that one cousin that you've been researching, turns out they're not using their real name. And what about that mysterious family member who just kind of seemed to come out of nowhere? Well, you will need to work it all out if you hope to finish out that family tree. They also thankfully give you a little virtual notebook that you can pull up at any time to jot down notes and things to remember later on. I've only played a few hours into the game so far, but I'm really enjoying piecing everything together. It's a fun puzzle to work on a little bit each night. All of the matching of the names to the faces and figuring out what everybody is up to, it reminds me a lot of the Golden Idol games, which are some of my favorite games of the last couple of years. You've probably heard me talk about them on past episodes. And it really reinforces that if you're looking for developers doing interesting and creative work, the indie games community really is the place to be. So this past Saturday morning, I went out to run a few errands, and when I came back to the house, I had no internet for no apparent clear reason. The bill was paid, the fiber optic terminal was all green lights, meaning that we should have been getting a signal, but the light on the router was red, so it wasn't functioning. So I went through all of the normal things that you would do at this point, you know, reset the modem, reset the router, check all the cables, you know, switch them out with different cables, check the website to see if there are any outages, all that stuff. Nothing. Still no internet. So I figured maybe it's the router itself. You know, maybe it crapped the bed. I've been leasing this one from CenturyLink for a while, so I figured maybe I'll just go buy a new one, you know, and not have that extra $10 on the bill. I go pick one up. It was a Netgear Nighthawk, I think it was called, something. I hook it up. Nothing. I troubleshoot it. I switch some settings around. Nothing. Nothing's working. I check the line coming into the house. that looks fine. And at this point, I have spent hours of my weekend trying to figure this out, and I've got Bupkis to show for it. So we got no internet. They tell me that a tech can come out on Monday, but until then, nothing. Which, let me tell you, it became crystal clear just how dependent my family has become on the internet. Music, internet. Television and movies, internet. Automatic pet feeder, internet. Kids' homework, internet. Finding out when the laundry is done so I don't have to get up off my ass and look, internet. It was terrible. This must have been how the pilgrims lived, I imagine. So finally on Monday afternoon, you know, the tech comes out to the house, takes a look, swaps out the router, and we had internet. I don't know. I asked him what the problem was, expecting some very complicated explanation about things like dynamic frequency selection or phase shift keying or some other term that maybe I just Googled right now. And instead, he just kind of shrugged and looked at me and said, "I don't know, but it works." Well, that's disappointing. But at least we finally have internet again. Things were starting to look a little grim, and I nearly did the unthinkable. Read a book. Ugh. You know, since we've got a little bit of time before the end of the show, let's see how many dad jokes I can tell in 1 minute. Start the clock. I was at the store the other day, and I saw that they had Batman shampoo. Unfortunately, they were all out of conditioner, Gordon. I was driving home the other day, and I got pulled over by the police. He knocks on my window and asks, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" I said, "Hold on a second, I'm on the phone." My friend, who's a lesbian, got me a Rolex for my birthday. I think she was confused when I told her I want a watch. What's the best way to watch a fishing tournament? On a live stream. I farted in an elevator full of people today. It was wrong on so many levels. I've been telling everybody all about the benefits of eating dried grapes. It's all about raising awareness. Okay. That's it. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. And don't forget to subscribe and leave a review while you're there. You can also find me on Blue Sky if you want to chat. And if you want to leave me a question or comment, you can leave a message at speakpipe.com/sidequest. So until next time, be well and happy gaming.